that's Steve Tasker, who has been all over the field.
Kind of unique. He was kind of a dual role player for you.
Steve.
A balloon.
Steve. A blimp. We're not even in the stratosphere of normalcy.
Take the snap. They toss it to Harris. Finds room. He's open. He's at midfield. He's headed to the end zone. There he goes. Damian Harris breaks loose and scores for the touchdown. Unbelievable. High, wind-aided. Bounces at the 21. Can't get to it. Bills down there to cover up, and they get it. Micah High covers up at the 14-yard line. Or Saran Neal, who covers up at the 14-yard line. Did he touch it? I think he did. The Bills have recovered the football. Josh Allen in the shotgun. First down from the 14. The snap. Fakes a handoff. Fires a strike. Caught. Touchdown, Buffalo. Touchdown, Bills. It is Gabriel Davis. An absolute fastball from Josh Allen. And the Bills find the end zone. Snap is clean. The kick is on the way. It is up. It is no good. He missed it wide to the right side. Now the snap. Josh looks to his left. Backpedals. Throws towards the end zone. It is knocked away. Incomplete. Knocked away by Miles, the defensive back. Around the 5-yard line, it falls incomplete. The Patriots will take over on downs, and the fans start to head to the exit.
That is your Toshiba Game Rewind. Toshiba, the official copier company of the Buffalo Bills. Somebody, anybody, make it feel better.
Yeah.
After a Monday night football defeat at the hands of the hated New England Patriots.
It was like so many other Patriot games over the years. You see your team make a mistake here and there, and the Patriots, like you heard us on the heard in the highlights just a minute ago, you know, the ball bouncing on the punt off N'Keal Harry's helmet. Bills get it, leads to a touchdown. It's the one mistake they made, and the Bills made them pay for it. And really, that's the only single other mistake you can point to the Patriots having had happen to them last night. The Bills, of course, drop passes, fumble on the plus side of the field.
Pre-snap penalties,
1-for-4 in the red zone. That's it. They did it. Missed a field goal that would have given them a chance to win it on the next series that they got down there again, but had to go for a touchdown instead of just kicking the winning extra point. Tyler Bass, that ball, you know, if you saw the kick, the ball was going just to the center of the uprights, and got blown way, way wide, way to the right, and misses it. And that's really the chance that really the Bills had to salvage that game out of what was just a horrific weather night. There's a lot going on in that game. A lot going on. That's pretty frustrating. I think it's frustrating for the people who followed this team, having some faith that they were going to, you know, this was going to be one of their up games. You know, one of the games where they show up like they did against New Orleans on Thanksgiving, like they did against Miami, like, you know, all of that stuff. And once again, they kept to that pace that we've been looking at, a win and a loss and a win and a loss. And, of course, this is the week where they were going to stack a win on top of a win, and they couldn't get it done. Patriots come out, and they were never able to force them to throw the football, and that it led to the kind of win that they got last night, a 4-point win.
Right. It's a typical type of win for the Patriots. They just grind them out. That's what they do. Occasionally, they'll blow a team out of the water like they did the Browns a couple of weeks ago, 45-7. Because the Browns compounded their errors. It took them a long time to finally pull away from the Titans, but they used takeaways to do that and make it look like a lopsided game when it was actually a pretty close game through the first half of that contest with the Titans. Last night, they're in a nip-and-tuck game. They don't mess it up. Aside from the special teams ball grazing the helmet of N'Keal Harry, as Steve mentioned, there really aren't too many blemishes to their performance, and that's what they do.
They had some penalties. They had a roughing the passer call, or you know, unnecessary roughness on Josh out of bounds. They had an offsides penalty as well. You know, Bills had one. The delay of game penalty was, goodness gracious. Yeah, that was.
Can't have it.
Yeah, you can't have it, but it was also a play that should not have been, absolutely should not have been called. It never is. I don't care about the split second that the ball was snapped while the thing was snapping to zero. It's never called. It's not called. And the league says it shouldn't have been called. But they called it. That kind of stuff is maddening and infuriating. But yeah, this is like the other losses the Bills have suffered, except for the Indianapolis loss. It comes down. It's so close. One-score game. And it comes down to what any one of 5, 6, 10 plays that could have gone the other way that leaves the Bills in a 4-point loss instead of a 3-point win or a 1-point win. And that's the frustrating part about these games of this nature is that, you know, you should have won it on 9 different occasions. You couldn't get it done on any one of them.
And, you know, we can spin the weather any way you want. I thought it would be interesting to go back and look because at halftime, I'm out and about, I'll say. I'm out of the press box. I'm down amongst the fans. And the prevailing opinion or complaint was, why are the Bills not throwing more with the wind at their back? Which, you know, I get. You're going with the wind. You're not worried about the ball getting knocked down necessarily in those circumstances. So I looked, Steve, and I broke it down in terms of what their run-to-pass numbers were with the wind and going into the wind in the second and fourth quarter, with the wind in the first and third quarter. So with the wind, the Bills ran it 12 times, passed it 12 times. With the wind, they were a 50-50 balance. Now, keep in mind, I am including sacks as pass plays, and I'm including right. Scrambles as run plays by Josh.
Okay.
12 to 12, even Steven, with the wind, run to pass. Against the wind, second and fourth quarters, 15 runs, 19 passes. Now, we should also take into account you're getting to the end of the game, you got to move the football, try to get into at least field goal range or scoring range. You're going to throw a little bit more, probably in the fourth quarter there. So that would account for a little bit more of the throwing. Now, Josh, after the game, did say specifically, when asked how much did the wind affect your throwing, he said a little bit, but it wasn't that bad. So if that's the case, I'm wondering, do you not explore making use of a passing game a little bit more? Much like they did, we're watching a throw, 26-yard rope to Stephon
Diggs. That's the back shoulder
of Diggs.
And
that's into the wind.
Yeah. Not into great Josh made a handful of spectacular throws last night. No question. Some of them, the ball was moving around a little bit, no question. But I was surprised by it. I got to be honest with you. I was really surprised at his ability to throw the football. And I know he's a big, strong arm. But, folks, I've been down there. You can't imagine how hard it is to throw in that junk. And I think if the Patriots could have been forced to throw a little bit more, if the Bills could have scored another touchdown or gotten up by 4 points and had the Patriots kind of change their approach, I think Mac Jones really would have struggled. But it never got to that point. It never got to that point because the Bills couldn't punch it in the red zone when they had the chance for a variety of reasons. And that was the thing that really surprised me, is the fact that Josh threw it as well as he did.
And then there were functionality questions, Steve. You already mentioned the delay of game. There was another instance. You know, they get in there first and goal on the 6 after the horse collar penalty, and they run, I think it was Singletary, no gain, 2nd and 10 or 2nd and 9, whatever the heck it was. They can't get the play in. They have to call a timeout.
It was 1st and goal on the 6, no gain.
They run the ball, no gain. 2nd and goal on the 6, play doesn't get in time. They have to call a timeout.
Yeah. I was surprised
by
that, too.
It's week 13,
Steve. I was there, I was like, oh, my gosh, how'd that play clock get that? Because it didn't seem like anything happened. But, man, oh, man, the play clock got away from them quick. And I was surprised by that. But you're right. It got down to 2, and they weren't even out of the huddle. It was, yeah. So there's another one.
That's just, it's week 13. Those things.
Yeah, that's.
You know what I mean? Like, you want to talk about week one, week two, with only a two-game preseason, three-game preseason, two games next year. You know, okay. You know, you're still getting a couple of the kinks out. Fine.
Right.
Week 13, in a four-point game, in a goal-to-go situation, that cannot happen.
Yeah.
It just can't. And that's the least of the issues.
And then,
you know, poor decision making. You take a sack there in a going into the wind, making life harder for the kicker. It's just the red zone was that's what cost them the game last night. In my that was the biggest factor in why they didn't win the game last night. Their
first and goal on the
their
six.
Shortcomings yeah. in the red zone. They're 1-for-4 down there. They're gift wrapped the first one on a poor decision on special teams. They got first and 10 at the 14-yard line.
They took it in right away.
Play action, make a pass, touchdown. Okay, let's roll.
Could not get it going.
Couldn't come up with answers down there. Couldn't run the ball down there.
Dawson Knox, a false start, backed him up. Then they throw the ball into the end zone. Can't come up with that catch. Yeah, Knox had as bad a game as he's had. I mean, he was a rookie again last night. Had a couple of catches, but you know, on six targets, you'd like to see him come up with four catches, but it just didn't happen. And the false start penalty was a crusher. So he had, you know, he took a step back last night. Lots going on, and it's so frustrating because there was so much there to be had for the Buffalo Bills, and while you know there's even today they're in the playoff, they're in the playoffs, but man, oh man, it feels like. And it feels like they got a top five pick in the draft kind of season going on here, and we're in the playoff hunt. That's how differently things feel today than they did, you know, a week ago.
Yeah, the other thing too, Steve, is so they get that red zone touchdown. They don't get down in the red zone again until the latter stages of the third quarter. It's first and 10 at the 20. Zach Moss, 3 yards. Second and 7. Allen throws a pass that couldn't connect with Gabe Davis. It was tipped at the line. Goes right. Incomplete. Now it's 3rd and 7, also incomplete. Fortunately, Tyler Bass comes through with a 35-yard field goal. This is with the wind at his back in the third quarter
right.
to make it 14-10. And then they go on their longest drive of the game. They get down to the Patriots' 20-yard line on a 2nd and 7. He hits Zach Moss on a leak out in the left flat, gets the 7-yard gain, gets the flag for the horse collar on top of it. 1st and goal, no gain. 2nd and goal, sack for a 9-yard loss. 3rd and goal from the 15. Allen seam pass for Knox comes out way too early. Dawson is winning the route. He's about to come out of the break. The ball's already by his ear.
Yeah, that was the one where they thought they had an offsides penalty.
Yes,
and they
that's what
the,
Josh
and
said.
They flinched into the ends. And I thought, yeah, I thought it was a missed call too. Now, certainly they didn't jump all the way across the line. It did seem like they got in there, but the official said no. Josh thought he had a free play. You'd think he'd make check the sideline to see if he saw a flag in the air. Didn't feel the need to do that. Threw it to kind of literally kind of threw it haphazardly thinking, okay, let's make a play. Maybe we'll get a penalty at the other end anyway. Completely incomplete. Completely, you know, not no chance for completion because it came out too early.
Right.
Yeah, that's frustrating.
And then Bass pushes the field goal to the right. After the failed red zone opportunity, you come away with nothing. The defense stands tall, gets you a 3-and-out, gets you the ball back again with 3 minutes and change left. They get down to the New England 19-yard line. Allen improvises on a 2nd and 4, scrambles 5 yards for a 1st down. So now it's 1st and 10 at the 14. Singletary, plus one. 2nd and 9 at the 13. Allen's pass goes wide and behind Stephon Diggs on what looked like a back shoulder throw type play. 3rd and 9. Knox, as you mentioned, flagged for a false start. Now it's 3rd and 14 at the 18. Allen has to roll away from pressure. You know, throws a prayer to Knox in the end zone. Some handsy coverage by Adrian Phillips. I think they could have at least called defensive holding there, if not pass interference. That doesn't work. Now it's 4th and 14 at the 18, and Allen faces a cover zero blitz, except Miles Bryant drops off his coverage assignment and is in the path of the pass, which was, I think, intended for Gabriel Davis, falls short of its intended target. It's knocked down. Game over.
Yeah, that last pass had no chance of being completed.
No, it was way short.
Yeah, it had a better chance of actually being picked off. That would never have reached Gabe Davis. I don't know who the. In fact, I was, and when he threw it, I was like,
"Who was that for?"
I didn't even know who it was for.
Neither
yeah,
did I.
Either the ball got really knocked down hard, and it looked like it was going to be short to Gabe Davis, or he just misfired against Cole Beasley. But it looked like, I think he was trying to throw that into the back center of the end zone to Gabe Davis, and the wind just knocked it down. It was to nobody.
McDermott was as direct and honest as I have heard him after a game in a long time. And when asked about the red zone play specifically, said, just sloppy football.
Yeah.
I mean, you name it, pre-snap penalty, just no rhythm. No rhythm down there, end quote.
Yeah, you got to think, too. The defense is sitting there. They gave up one touchdown on the night. One touchdown and two field goals. It's hard to be happy about that. They are hard to be unhappy about that as a defense. You can say what you want about the run game. I get it. In 40-mile-an-hour winds, they're running it right at you. They had the same type of day that the Patriot defense did. You know, they gave up some yards. They gave up – the teams were pretty commensurate in their yardage. I mean, the Patriots and the Bills both had this about the same amount of yards. Certainly the Bills was more passing than the Patriots, and the Patriots was all running. But they were pretty – it was kind of the same game for both offenses. The difference was Patriots got one extra field goal and the two-point conversion, and that was the game. That was the game.
Coach McDermott was asked a number of questions after the game. Once again, a question that came up concerned the team's level of physicality in games. As we know, playing physical at the line of scrimmage and winning there has been an issue that has cropped up more than once this season when facing physical offensive fronts and, heck, even physical defensive fronts. And they're going to be facing another physical defensive front in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this week. And Coach, when asked about physicality and where he feels his team is, says, yeah, not good enough. We've got to be able to run the football. We've got to be able to stop the run. Those things don't change. The message hasn't changed in terms of physicality and the necessity for physicality in what we do. It's why we start training camp the way we do, by running the football. And you've got to win the line of scrimmage. And their backs averaged over 5 yards a carry. Our backs averaged 3.1, so not good enough. So back to the drawing board they go. I thought it was very telling, too, Steve, that Coach McDermott, when asked this late in the season, is it fixable? Because this is the time of year where teams really show their true colors. We are who we are. And identity-wise, I don't know if the Bills have effectively established who they are, which is probably not a good thing.
Well, I think here's the and I'll say this. You can make all the excuses you want and come up with all the reasons you want and the justifications for the way we feel the way we do, but this is a team that rides with their quarterback, no question about it. The fact that they could throw the ball at all last night, from my experience being in the game like that, is a miracle. And Josh made a handful of throws that were like eye-popping. They were hard to catch. They were playing against a really good defensive front, got some pretty good pressure. I thought the offensive line played a little better in pass protection they did. Couldn't run the ball effectively enough for most of us. But, you know, this is a team that centers around the guy taking snaps. And if he can't be effective, they have no chance.
He was a little off on throws. You have to probably attribute the win to some degree to a few of those, maybe most of those, but there was some decision-making that was a little off with him. It compromised the rhythm of the offense, I think, and the run game just was not productive enough. And I think it's a unit-wide issue. People always point to the offensive line and winning the line of scrimmage, and I'm not going to deny that that has cropped up as an issue this season. But I think there's a vision situation here with the backs at times, too. I don't know if they don't trust the blocking. I don't know if they read the defense correctly, I'm not enough of a trained eye, and I don't know what the play calls are. So I don't want to speculate, but it seems that it covers all the bases on offense. This is not a one- or two-player thing. This seems like an 11-player situation where everybody has got to execute their assignments just a little bit better here if they're going to get any more traction in the run game. And after seeing them perform for 12 games, Steve, I don't know what's going to convince me that it's going to change for the better
this
in short order this year.
I think you've got a reason. You are who you are at this point. Now, you can say whatever. If you're going to get healthier and you get certain guys back and it changes the chemistry, maybe that will happen. Maybe this is a team a little bit like the Kansas City Chiefs were, where they lost it for the first half of the season. Now they're kind of getting it back. Maybe the Bills could mimic that type of a turnaround as well to get back into the saddle. Certainly going down into Florida this week will at least give them a chance to play in a game that isn't in a rainstorm and a windstorm that they've had a handful of this year. Okay. But the simple fact of the matter is you got to play better. You got to play better in situations where, and, you know, Mitch Moore's akin to shooting yourself in the foot, and I know that's the oldest of cliches.
Yeah.
But they're making too many mistakes. They're making too many mistakes. You can say what you want about the Patriots. I mean, the Bills played a bad football game last night, and it was still theirs to win at the end.
Because they have a defense that can hold them in games.
That's right. And they couldn't make – they couldn't have enough – string enough positive plays together without making a mistake that compromised their ability to continue. They're still one of the best offenses, if not the best offense in the league, at getting first downs on series. Never getting, you know, having the fewest three and outs, getting a convertible first down and moving the chains. They're still the best, one of the best, if not the best offense in the league at that. But something's not clicking when they get down into crunch time. Last year they were an incredibly effective red zone team. Not so this year. They've got to find the answers to that. And I know, and I said it to people last night. I was in the Westwood One radio booth last night with Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner talking to the guys. And I said, this is a team that's got a big engine. I mean, if you're equating it to a car, they got a big engine. They can go. When they get that thing revved, they can go. The problem is it doesn't seem tuned up. It's sputtering at times. It cuts out at the wrong times. And for a variety of reasons, right? I mean, that's the frustrating part.
That's why I'm saying it's not just one or two guys.
Yeah, it's an offsides here. Oh my gosh, a holding penalty now.
And those aren't the same people.
Right. Yeah, or it's a false start, or an offsides, or a holding penalty, or a drop pass, or a miscommunication, or a bad read by Josh, or a bad throw, or somebody leaks through on the offensive line. Now it flushes him out. They got nothing. It's all of that.
So what do we label that? Is that systemic? If it's that widespread through your entire offensive unit where guys are taking turns?
I think – here's the thing. I think it's – you can put it as a systemic mindset that needs to be – they need to buckle down. And there's only so much a head coach like Sean McDermott can do. I mean, they can hammer it and beat it, but something will happen. Well, they will – where the team and the players themselves will say, all right, hey, that's it, let's go. And – whatever that thing is or that mindset is, it spreads fast and it changes. You've seen it happen to other teams. It happened for a team I was on. It's happened to the Kansas City Chiefs this year. It happened to the Patriots after the first 5 weeks of the season.
The Bucs had a three-game losing streak in November last year.
It happens. The New York Giants were about to fire their head coach, and they went to the Super Bowl. And they lost that Super Bowl to...
That was 2000, the Kerry Collins
2007.
Team.
No,
2007, they won. They beat the Patriots, ruined their rookie. You're thinking of Jim Fossil's 2000 team.
That's who it is. Jim Fossil's
2010, Kerry Collins at quarterback.
That's right. They get there and they get crushed by the Ravens. They get crushed by the Ravens in Tampa Bay. But you've seen it with other teams that their fortunes change, and that's what it is. It's a mindset in the huddle.
Yeah.
When those guys get in there, things are going to be different for some reason, whatever reason. And that's almost like a ghost to chase. You know, I mean, how do you find that? How do you manufacture it? How do you consciously change the mindset of the guys that are standing around you in the huddle? But we've seen this team and this virtually this group, and actually this group would be better, I think, than the group they had last year up front when they're healthy with Feliciano and Brown in there. This group's even better.
Hasn't manifested.
Where is it? You got to see it. That's the frustrating part of it. But that's the part that it both frustrates you, but also gives you a lot of hope because you know it's in there.
We're running out of games, though.
That's the thing, too.
We've got five games left.
There's a backstop here that you're not going to get back past.
All right. Let us know what your biggest takeaway from the Bills' loss to the Patriots was yesterday, last night. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. We're going to lead off today with Chris in Brooklyn. Chris, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
I think there's just a team regression. The coaching staff, in my opinion, has regressed. Gone is the McDermott that goes for the win against the Titans a few weeks ago, and he's been replaced by a McDermott who kicks a field goal in Patriots territory against the wind when we're down by four, and who throws like a curious challenge on the Mac Jones run that ended up wasting a timeout. Daboll isn't making adjustments and insists on running the ball between the tackles, even though it hasn't worked all season. And Frazier at least got out of the nickel and did some 4-3, but maybe I'm wrong on this, but I don't understand why Poyer and Hyde were still playing 12 yards off the ball when they knew the Patriots weren't going to throw the ball. And I think the offense has regressed too. Allen isn't seeing the field well, missed a wide-open Beasley at the end of the game. Of course, the drops by Knox and Diggs didn't help. We went from running Allen all the time last year to barely running him now. And the Bills can't score in the red zone. The Bills' run defense was suspect last year. But when the Bills were scoring like they were back then, teams couldn't afford to keep running the ball. They had to switch to the pass.
Right.
And I don't know what the issue is. That's all I got, and I'm just happy to hear what your guys' thoughts are.
That's all good stuff.
I'll
say that the challenge, I would agree with you. In a game like that, in a play like that, we've all seen it a million times, there's no way you're ever going to get a look at a quarterback sneak on a spot like there's no way they can reverse it. There's never going to be a camera angle that gives you a satisfactory view of that. I was bummed about that challenge as well. The field goal, I'm in the minority here. I know I disagree with a lot of people that say it was crazy. That field goal needed to be made. And I get it. They go out there in the preseason. I saw some clips in the pregame where Bass was kicking it from like 40 yards out, kicking it up, and the ball was going, and it would go backwards. It never reached. The kick he missed, and the MSG viewers are missing it, he started out too far right.
Are you saying he should have picked the left hash there?
He didn't have to pick the hash. He's got to pick where he's aiming that down. The hash is dictated by the last play that was run from scrimmage.
Yeah.
He's got to know that wind from that end, it's going to push the ball hard that way. You got to put it barely inside the left upright, not down the middle, not right of center, but almost left of center. He mishit it. He hit it too far. He didn't play the wind. And that's on him. And that kick, and you can say he should never have done that. Actually, if they make that kick, they win the game because they get a 3-and-out on the next series. And you can say what you want after that, everything changes, but it didn't. They get a 3-and-out. The Bills go right back down there, and they could have had another quick, easy field goal for the win. So there's nobody. You can say, I thought that was the right call to make for McDermott. Bass has got the leg to hit it. He should have experience enough now. He's been here an entire season, and through weather, he's kicked in all kinds of weather. He should know how to kick that ball into that end. He missed it. I get it. Everybody misses a field goal. But that's not on the coach. That was the right call to make at that point. It gave you a chance. There was still 5.5, 7 minutes to go.
You weren't sticking it in the end zone, in the red zone anyway.
You had to take the points. I agree with that. But the challenge, I agree with. I was like, there's – and maybe he wanted – I don't know that he would. Probably not. It was a fourth down conversion. He was not going to take a timeout there anyway. But
he was asked about it, and he said that he challenged it on because he wanted to try to get the ball back as quick as he could. He was conscious of the fact that the Patriots were shortening the game when they were going into the wind by running the tar out of the ball. They wanted to shorten the game as much as possible when they were going into the wind. which they successfully did. And even Eli Manning on the Manning Cast last night said, man, with the way they're trying to shorten this game here going into the wind, you may want to consider calling some timeouts so you have more time with the wind.
Right.
And I think that's what McDermott said he was kind of doing there. He said, look, I'm going to challenge the play here and stop the game. And the worst case scenario is we don't get the turnover on downs, but I at least stop the clock and I burn the timeout there. It's just as if I called timeout on fourth
right.
down. And I think that's how he viewed it.
Well, but it was a converted fourth down. They gave him the first down.
Yeah.
You're not going to gain any. I guess you're going to gain some rest, I guess, or whatever. But, I knew, and I think most people knew, there's no way they're going to win that challenge. So I thought there was an underlying issue there of why he called for maybe just to burn a timeout, take some time, stop the clock, because the clock was going to start again.
We'll take more of your phone calls when we come back. Got to take a break here. Mike in Salamanca, Jessica and Wayne, hang out. We will get to you in the next segment. We also need to address the other comment that Chris in Brooklyn brought up, and that was Josh running in the red zone. It has kind of gone away the last few games. Would it have made a difference in first and goal from the six situation last night? What if you just ran him four times?
Right.
Something good might have happened there. Just saying. We'll address that when we return. Here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health, it's Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker on a therapeutic Tuesday edition of the show on the heels of Buffalo's Monday night loss to the New England Patriots as the division title is now in jeopardy. Obviously, the Bills have a chance to right that because they still have another game against the Patriots. And if they beat them and stay within a game, that all is not lost for a division title, but the task is significantly more difficult now. I don't think there's any debating that. Josh Allen running, Steve. We saw some of it, more of the scramble variety than the design variety, and he did make some plays with his legs. Down in the red zone, though, there hasn't been much of it in the last handful of games.
Hasn't been much as much this year, really. They ran some like early in the season, I guess, against Pittsburgh, those quarterback draws and stuff. But let's not forget why you don't want that to be the case. So what happens if – I mean, I know it's fatalist thinking. But if you do that, say you go in, you run it the first two times, okay, he doesn't get it, gets dinged a little bit, gets up, runs it in for the fourth time – and all of a sudden, you got a tib-fib break on the quarterback, and now, you know, it's Mitch Trubisky the rest of the season. Mm. But you beat the Patriots. And now there's some people out there I know right now, they're going, I take it, right? I mean, just out of the reaction. But, you know, I mean, that's what you're talking about. Running Josh down there three times on first and goal in the six, I do like your chances. But that's just, you know.
Just give me that's some just, student body right. And
it's just holding him up to get –
right.
Chunked on, you know, get
but
hit.
But you're in a one-score game. The Bills have now lost four games by one score. In those four games, they've lost by a total combined 17 points.
Yeah.
And then the blowout loss to the Colts. Winning the close ones has become difficult or proven difficult this season. They are 0-4 in those one-game type situations. All their wins, I think, have been by 10 points or more. So you ask yourself, you know, nobody's ever going to play the perfect game in the NFL.
Right.
The competition is too strong. The margins are too tight. But when you are just a little bit off and you're in a one-score game, it can very well mean the difference between winning and losing, and I think that's what we saw last night. Let's go back to the phones, and I believe we have Mike in Salamanca. Mike, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live.
I was so mad yesterday about that run game, and whatever.
Okay. Whatever. Well, that's where
that's
a lot of people.
That's all he can get. How long did he wait?
A half an hour?
He waited a half an hour for that? Oh, bless
priceless.
Bless his heart. Mike from Salamanca. I was so mad about that run game. Was it our run game he was mad at or theirs?
Yeah. Well,
ours or theirs?
Oh, could Could have been either, I guess.
Was it our run game or their run game?
It has to be ours, right?
I don't know. It would have said run defense if it was their run game.
Yeah, I think it was the Bills' run game that Mike in Salamanca was sore about.
I get
Sorry to hear it, Mike. Yeah. We're with you.
I'm with you. Yeah.
He's exasperated.
He's so mad.
He's just.
Everybody's there.
I got to hang up.
That game yesterday, for all the – and there was a lot of angst. We talked and laughed about how nervous people were leading up to the game, waiting all weekend for the game. And how about the way the game went when they got that quick, long touchdown? It's like, oh, no. We came back. We're 1 point back. They get it. That game was an absolute torture chamber for Bills fans.
How about Monday's show? We're here as an extended pregame show, and Herman Kenmore is all mad we're talking too much about the Patriots.
Right.
I understand people are sick of this team, but I got news for you. They're not going away.
Yeah, you might hear about them. You might hear about them twice more this season. You might get them.
Once more.
You got them once more, and if depending on how it all falls, you may be going to Foxborough again, or they may be coming here under some
miraculous
circumstance. But that game was a torture chamber for Bills fans from start to finish. Just the angst and the wind and all of that. And Mac Jones throws one pass, I think, in the first half,
it's like a
double-tipped, out-of-control, completely off-target flutter ball Jonnu Smith tipped to himself and pulled in.
The Patriots,
unbelievable.
Patriots have the lowest drop rate in the league, 1.8% on the year.
Yeah.
1.8%. They are efficient at just about everything that they do. Let's go back to the phones. I believe we have Jessica in Wayne County. What do you have for us, Jessica? You're on One Bills Live. She not there? All right. We'll move along. We'll go to Tom in Cheektowaga. You're on One Bills Live. What do you have for us, Tom?
Hi. Well, okay. All you guys talking about the coaches, not you and the plays and all that. The simple problem why we're losing the big three games is, well, first, we have a poor running defense, and we have no running game. Now, you got the list of top rushers. All those guys are big, 240, 250. We have shrimps. We don't have they don't have a 5'8" runner in the top list. And you got to get a bull horse that could get more than 2 yards a carry. We're in the 6 yard line. We couldn't punch it in. Why don't they get, they need a Cookie Gilchrist, you know, or someone like that. There must be someone out there. Because we're a one-dimensional team. We have the Penn and Allen. He didn't lose the game for us. We couldn't run the ball. So I don't know. No one wants to seem to address the problem, but these guys are too small. They're finesse runners, but that doesn't work anymore. Thurman Thomas, O.J. Simpson, you don't see those guys anymore. Can't they get someone, draft someone or pick someone up, someone that's could get more than 2 yards on average on a carry? That's ridiculous.
Well, in the off season, not right now, Tom. There's nobody. I mean, I don't know. That guy is not out there. He's not out there.
That seems to be the major problem.
You'd like to get a big, fast running back.
Hopefully they could win 5-4 games, and by chance they might sneak into the playoffs.
So, Tom, you could say by hook or crook this off season, you want him to get a big, fast running back.
Mm-hmm.
And there we are.
That's good radio right
All
there.
Right, Tom. Thanks very much
thanks,
for the call.
Tom.
We appreciate it. We'll move along.
call
We're
us
on
back.
Fire.
Tom, you call back anytime you want, Tom from Cheektowaga.
Mm-hmm. Give me a big running
that
back that's fast.
Mm-hmm.
I
like where your head's at.
Let's go to Rick on a cell next. Rick, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live. Rick, are you there?
Are you looking for Dick in Webster, New York?
Sure.
Yeah, my problem was with the coaching last night. It was actually with the lineup. Why we put Micah Hyde back there to field kickoffs, and we've already decimated in the secondary, losing Servavius White, putting him in harm's way, and the only guy in the team that could run it back the length of the field on a windy night like that would have been Isaiah McKenzie, and having him doing an end sweep around or something and keeping their defensive line You could have pulled everybody to one side and tried to push that guy down the field with his speed.
Yeah, Dick,
not having him in the lineup made issues. And putting Micah Hyde back there and having him injured, that's all we need to do moving forward is having another player out of the second.
Dick, I get the concern. McDermott in questionable weather conditions has turned to Micah Hyde because he trusts him in terms of ball security. He is not worried about the return average on a night like last night. He is worried about securing possession of the football. And when asked directly about it last night after the game, he said, "I'm putting someone back there that I trust." And that's Micah Hyde. And it's obviously not the other two. And there's no way you would put Marquez Stevenson back there, a rookie who played his college ball in the South at the University of Houston. He's never seen weather like that. So to put that on him would be unfair. And Isaiah McKenzie, if you remember, back in week 3 against Washington, at the scoreboard end, muffed a punt in bad wind. Coaches don't forget that stuff. So he wasn't going to put him out there on returns. Now, Dick, I will agree with you on offense. I think that McKenzie could have stretched the Patriots defense laterally, especially on a night where you weren't going to throw the ball. You could use those jet sweeps with him and stretch the defense horizontally, which has created gaps for the passing game off play fakes. I think you could have done that. So I'm with you there.
Here's my take on this. And I said, I'll just say it. I'm going to take credit because I told you so. Last night, I didn't say this on the air, but I did say this last night to the same guys. I was telling Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner last night. I said, "Guys, not a single solitary punt will be caught tonight. They're all going to be bouncing. You're not going to get a punt return tonight or a kick return of any kind. The kickoff returns, maybe if they kicked them off into the wind, but nobody did. You did not see a single kickoff. I actually did. Did you see the opening kickoff went into the wind? I can't remember. Nobody.
Well, Breida mishandled one. The kickoff. He mishandled.
That's
that
right.
Breida
had boinked off his helmet. Nobody caught a single kick all night. And let me just say this. Let me raise my hand. I called it. I knew it was not going to happen. So Isaiah McKenzie and Marquez Stevenson were irrelevant in the kicking game last night. They weren't going to catch one and take it the distance. They weren't going to make something out of nothing. There was nothing there in the kicking game last night that was even a possibility of going your way. The only thing you wanted to do was end every kicking play with the ball in your possession. If they were kicking it to you, make sure wherever it happens, just get away from it and you get the ball back. Kickoffs, let it go into the end zone. Let it bounce out of bounds. Last night, I don't know if anybody noticed, not a single kick was fielded. Not a single kick was fielded in the air. Not one. So that's why you get the most out of your roster and you start players instead of guys who are going to catch those or do it like Isaiah McKenzie and Marquez Stevenson. Put guys on your roster that are going to help you in other places and see if you can maximize your roster that way. Now, you can say, and Brownie, you're right. Maybe Isaiah McKenzie on the end of round and stuff, people are clamoring for that now because something's got to work in the running game. Two plays that get you 10 yards in that game last night, if you give that twice to Isaiah McKenzie, and maybe you get a little benefit if you fake it to him another time or two.
It's not enough.
Yeah, okay. It might have, but because that was the way the game went.
Yeah, and I think people remember the last time the Bills used that. McKenzie got into the end zone, and the Bills were 6 of 7 in the red zone against the Jets. I know it's the Jets, and we're talking the Patriots, but they've seen it work. So they're like, why not try it again?
I get it. But this is not that.
Yeah.
You know, the Patriots aren't that. And if you're going to, for that 4 snaps, you may get, and I don't know who it would have been, maybe it was Joe Giles Harris who actually got on the field some, or somebody else. Maybe it was some guys who gave him some meaningful snaps or other things. Maybe it was Bates coming in as an extra wide receiver or an extra tight end that we saw, or, you know, some of the stuff like that. But that's the reason for it. Nobody was going to catch a kick last night. And if you're not going to use a punt returner, use that roster someplace where you will give a guy some snaps. Maybe an extra corner or an extra linebacker or an extra special teams player.
They had all the running backs up too.
That's true.
We have to take a break here. Kevin and Hamburg, hang tight. We'll get to you when we return. More of your phone calls on your takeaways from last night's disappointing defeat at the hand of the Patriots. It's One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Josh Allen in the shotgun. First down from the 14. The snap. Makes a handoff. Fires a strike. Caught. Touchdown, Buffalo. Touchdown, Bills. It is Gabriel Davis. An absolute fastball from Josh Allen.
That is the Hunt red zone play of the game. Gabe Davis's first quarter touchdown. The only red zone touchdown conversion of the game. Hunt red zone. Visit huntrealestate.com to score on all your real estate needs. Unfortunately, the Bills had three more trips in the red zone and could not break the goal line, and it hurts. It ultimately is a big reason why they do not come out victorious in a 14-10 loss at the hand of the Patriots.
Well, yeah, all things being equal, and everything changes as the weather changes as well. Mac Jones doesn't hand it off 46 times. He doesn't hand it off 46 times. They throw the football around, and you see more of the offense that we've been seeing from them. Up and the game goes differently, and the Bills, you know, at least kick field goals in those situations, and Bass makes them.
Mm-hmm.
And the game is completely different when the weather gets different. But the way the game went last night, you still go back to the red zone opportunities. The Bills moved the football, got it down there. Man, he threw it way better than I thought he was going to be able to. Way better. It was awful down there.
Yeah.
And he still was piping it in there. And, so a lot of incomplete. He's only 50% passing. So,
yeah, 15 to 30 for 145. You wonder, should they have thrown more, particularly when they were going with the win?
I think they were, you go through warm-ups and stuff, and you think, okay, I don't know.
And you're talking to your coaches, I feel good about this, I feel good about that, I can do this, I can do that.
Right.
No, don't take that play out of the game plan, I can make that one.
Right,
exactly. Especially if we're going with the win.
A lot of
adjusting conversations like that happen, right?
Exactly, and I think it's, 30 throws, if you'd have told me they're going to throw it 30 times last night, pregame, I was like, you're nuts.
Yeah.
You're nuts. But he got it done. The guys, Diggs, Knox, Beasley, maybe to a certain extent, Emmanuel Sanders. I think those guys were really struggling to track it, particularly on long throws. The ball to Diggs in the corner of the end zone, I can't believe he even got that within 5 yards of him, and it hit him in the forearm.
Yeah, hit him in the forearm, not the
unbelievably.
Hands.
Unbelievably. So Josh made some throws that were just unbelievable, and I think unexpectedly so. It's not just about throwing the football. You got to track it and pull it in when you're not just sitting there facing it, looking at the guy. I was surprised at how well Josh was able to deliver the ball.
Yeah, our MSG viewers are getting a look at it there, and Josh couldn't believe he didn't come up with it because he did put it on him. It was a good throw in terms of accuracy, and unfortunately, it just hits him on the forearm. He looks over the wrong shoulder first.
Well, I think
the ball's carrying out of bounds wide. So he tried to readjust and just couldn't get his head around and his hands where they needed to be.
Yeah, I think he was looking over the inside shoulder first.
Yeah.
Josh throws it, and he has to baseball turn on it, which means he turns toward the crowd and then comes back around and picks the ball up again.
Yeah.
And did, then looked away again and looked back up at it. That's how long the ball was in the air. And then by the time he looked back at it the third time, it had moved enough, and it was on him, and he couldn't pick it up.
God. Yeah.
But that throw was the throw of the night.
Yeah.
That was the incompletion of the night. Unbelievable that even was in the ballpark of being in there.
Let's go back to the phones. Get to Kevin in Hamburg next. Kevin, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live. Is Kevin there? Yeah. What
there
do you got?
I am. You there?
Yep.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think the takeaway is, and it's another disappointing takeaway, and it's starting to sound too much like a, beating the dead horse, but it's trouble with another superior physically opponent.
Yeah.
But it's another one that I called about this after the Colton massacre, that we just cannot take teams who physically punch us right back, you know, and keep – we play these teams and they keep punching us back and we just cannot – and I used the example back then about the boxer who just can't beat someone who physically punches him back in the face.
Yeah.
And it's starting to sound like a broken record. You can make a 45 out of it if they still made 45. We can't beat physical teams or we struggle with them.
Yeah.
And this week against Tampa Bay – we got the weather's nice. We got to pull out all the stops because, to me, guys, my opinion is this Tampa Bay game reminds you a little bit of that Sunday night game against the Steelers-Ravens. They lose that game, their season's pretty much in deep poop. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I agree with you. And
thanks
for the call, Kevin. I think the key to this game in Tampa with the weather and whatever and all of that stuff that's going on, I don't think there's any question. The Bills have got to score points.
Yeah.
They have got to score points because that allows their defense to play against an offense who is in a desperate – it has to throw the football.
Yeah.
No question. They've struggled to stop the run. I get all of that. They did it okay at time, but they're very spotty last night even. And you got to do it consistently. And I think that if the Bills' offense can be – what we've seen it to be in games and score, you know, 30 to 40 points a game in this game, that's what it's going to take to win because it puts the other offense in a position where the Bills' defense can measure up.
Yeah, and the Bucs secondary does have its share of injuries. They're very shorthanded back there right now. Their defensive line, however, is pretty formidable. And if you're going to spread the field and thin that secondary out for the Bucs, which – doesn't have a lot of fresh bodies, a lot of healthy bodies. Somehow, some way, you've got to design a protection scheme to give Josh enough time to deliver the football in those situations. We'll see and talk about it certainly a lot more leading into that game on the road. It's a 4 o'clock game this coming week down there at Raymond James Stadium. We have to take a break here, but when we come back, it's our weekly visit with Good Morning Football's Kyle Brandt. We'll have him dissect this one and kind of take a bird's eye view of this thing. He doesn't have Bill's myopia like we do. What are they saying at the national level about the Bills now that they've slipped to 7-5? We'll catch up with him next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. All right, welcome back. One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. It is hour number two. And joining us, as he does every Tuesday, is the one and only Kyle Brandt from Good Morning Football. And we're short on sleep, Kyle. We're a little hungover from whatever the heck that was last night. Yes, weather played a factor, but you tell me. Consistency and the lack of it was the difference in this game between the two sides.
Tough loss, tough night, tough morning. That was the stuff that nightmares are made of. I mean, it really was. Let's accept some things first before we start to adjust and start the healing. This idea that in 2021, a Bill Belichick team without Tom Brady is coming into Buffalo in primetime and just coming in and doing what they want. That's really frustrating. That's terrifying nightmare fuel. But, you know, I've had a few hours to think about this because we started 7 a.m. this morning. We talked about the show off the top, and now I'm coming down a little bit. You know that moment when you have the hangover where you think it starts to clear a little bit and you start to get a little bit of clarity after a few hours? I'm there. That was not the AFC title game. That was not a playoff game. And, you know, I was saying this morning, as a coach or as a player, what's frustrating about that loss is, like, what do you point to fix? Like, what is our solution to this problem? It's not like, well, our game plan was off or we just made a couple of huge mistakes. It was just the Bills are tough. The Patriots were tougher. However, I don't think the season is over. I don't think that the next time they play the Patriots or the next time they play anybody, it will be in conditions that dictate 46 runs. I just don't think it's going to happen. I think that was a really tough night. You can go one of two ways. The season's over. It's done. The Patriots own us again. Wah, wah, wah. We don't have it. Or I don't know. I saw the Bucks hit a real low point last year, too, on their way to a Super Bowl. They still accomplished all their goals after being embarrassed on national television by the Bears. It happened. You can look it up. I'm not saying it wasn't a tough night, but I'm getting to that point now where I'm turning the corner and saying that's for wimps sitting here crying hours about it and weeks out. There's still a lot of football to be played.
Yeah, and it's interesting as well that the Bills come in, and it's very typical of what we've seen with, and that's why it's so frustrating too. We've seen this so many times. The Bills fumble a ball away going in on the 30-yard line. They drop passes. They miss a field goal late that gives them a chance for an easy field goal to win it. There's drop passes. There's thing after thing after thing that gets listed. And the Patriots had one bad thing. The punt blew around in the wind, hit the guy's helmet. That's the only bad thing that happened to them all night. So you kind of look like, why are they the only team in the league that when you finish a game like that, you can't point to anything that they did wrong? It really is a testament to the way they run their organization and how well you have to play to beat them. And the Bills just didn't do that last night.
No. And the question is, can they do it again? And I know they'll get a shot. Look, guys, we talked about this all season. And everyone, we played it this morning too. The Micah and the Poyer sound after the game about were you embarrassed, and it got really contentious, and they walked out and words were exchanged. To me, that was about more than that game last night. That was about the Colts game. That was about the Titans game. And that's about all these things that they've heard and that we've talked about, frankly, I think fairly and objectively, that these really physical running games are scary for the Bills. And I don't think the players are scared. I'm scared watching them. Those guys are tough. Those guys are proud. But my God, like, it's been some tough days against the run. And, this idea that you're supposed to embody your city or, adapt to the conditions around you. We had Kurt Warner on this morning, and we're joking about, like, do the Bills need a dome? Because they got a great quarterback and some great receivers. And, like, the whole running game thing that they're supposed to be doing there in Western New York isn't really happening. So it's very frustrating to watch because, God, I just don't know if that's how they're made up as a team. And if you did put this Bills team in a dome, that they might be better. But a dome's not coming.
Right. And that leads me to my next question, Kyle, which is there a potential philosophical disconnect here? Because we hear Coach McDermott last night when he's asked about the run game saying that identity is forged in training camp. We worked on it then. He was asked if it can be fixed now. He says, we're going to try our darndest, but it's very hard to do that. Is it time to just lay that down and put it on the side and say, Josh Allen's our best player. He's our best way to reclaim success in some way, shape, or form with some measure of consistency. We got to go back to what we were in 2020, which is the hell with running the ball. We got to throw it all over the yard if we want to win week to week.
I think what I like about that, Brownie, is that I think it can work. What I don't like is I don't think you can win the whole thing like that. And this Bills team is not in the business of winning a divisional round game or a wild card game. It's a bitter disappointment if they do that. So that's the problem here. It's these suffocating stakes and expectations about anything other than a trip to the Super Bowl and winning it is this huge disappointment. Yeah, maybe they say, screw it. Enough of this. We're not going to do the Breida thing. We're not going to do Singletary and Moss. We're going to throw 60 times a game because Josh is that good. I don't know. Are they winning in the playoffs like that? Because they're probably going to see the same team they saw last night. It's probably going to be in Foxborough. It's probably going to be cold. Like, they're going to have to address this thing. They're going to have to die by it. There is no – I just don't think it's either in their fabric or in the realm of probability or possibility that they win just to becoming the greatest show on turf. Because they're not on turf. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I just wonder if they're even going to be able to get to the playoffs the way they're playing like this. Because you may have to go back to that just to get in, is what I'm thinking at this point. That's the scary thing.
I think, look, here's the – so what, they got the Bucks next week, right?
Yeah, on the road.
You know what? I mean, they're going to slam Fournette up the middle. Slam him. And they're going to bring in Ronald Jones. Like, those guys can run. For all the Brady and all the receivers they have, like, as you've been watching the last month or so of the Bucks, like, Fournette is becoming a star, and they're running the hell out of him. So it's like, I guess it's a good opportunity to correct it. And I thought it was interesting that Micah said after the game to the reporter who he took exception with, like, I'm going to remember that, and I'm going to focus on this. And okay, great. That sounds great. Be motivated. Be angry. But my God, can we make some tackles closer to the line of scrimmage? I'm not ready to say they're gonna miss the playoffs yet. But are they gonna win this game next week? Like, if you were a gambling man, are you betting on the Buffalo Bills to win this game? It's probably not. And I'm not going to blow smoke. I never do that on this show. I never do that on Twitter. And Bills fans get pissed off. Oh, you're jumping off the bandwagon. Guys, are you watching the games? Like, they're not that good right now. So yeah. The last thing I'm going to do is BS you and say you're fine. Things aren't fine. Let's try to fix them.
Yeah, and this seems to be a team, particularly in this with the state of where their defense is. It's, you know, statistically, you can say what you want. Yeah, they gave up 14 points and all that, so they're not giving up too many points. But the simple fact of the matter is, this is a team that has to hit on all cylinders. Last night, if the Bills score another touchdown or make the field goal at the end, they got a chance to win it. Or they force the New England Patriots, listen, you can't run it every down, or you're not going to keep up with us. So it's as much about the offense scoring points and keeping it out of the, you know, keeping the Patriots a little bit desperate to stay in it than they were last night at any point. After you break off one big run and all of a sudden now your offense has to catch up. They do it, but they can't take the lead. So this is a team where, yeah, as good as they are, they got to be hitting better everywhere to win games like they did last night. They haven't won really any one-score games all year that I can think of.
No, they're 0-4, and they've lost those four games by 17 points. And what does it come back to? Consistency. Yeah. You're not going to be consistent. You're not going to win the tight ones. And 75% of the games in this league are decided by 7 points or less. So it's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, so the thing is, you know, Kyle, how, you know, they if they do play consistently on one side of the ball, what do you think this team looks like at its best?
At its best, they look like they look on Thanksgiving. You know, it's a show. But look, that game was in a dome, ironically. Right. It looks great. They're going around at 72 degrees, going up and down the field. They're not good enough right now to beat great teams unless they play almost perfect. And, like, that Breida fumble was not only bad, it was really strange. And we had this advantage of we're watching Peyton and Eli talk about it, and they didn't even know what he was doing. And it was this weird thing where on your first day of Pop Warner football, they teach you how to take a handoff with the forearms up. And for some reason, Breida grabbed for it, and it was just a bad fumble. And you're like, well, they can't do that against this team. The Patriots are too good right now. And they can't make that mistake. The unbeatability, if you want to call it, invincibility that they had a year ago is nowhere in the building right now. And it's almost like they have to play perfect to beat some of these big dogs. And that's too much.
Yeah.
Where do you – the AFC race, as you know, is a schmozzle in the conference. And the Bills now have 5 conference losses. I don't need to tell you that the second tiebreaker after overall record and head-to-head is conference record. They only got – They only have two more conference games, Kyle. The best they can do in the conference is 7-5. And I realize a lot of these other AFC teams in the hunt or in the playoff picture are going to be playing each other. I know the AFC North plays each other. The AFC West teams are going to be playing each other. And they're going to be knocking each other off and, you know, ruining some conference records there. But this is not a good place to be standing at 5-5 in the conference when you're already looking up at the division leader. So if the division is out of the picture and you're going strictly on wild card, I realize there's 3 now, 3 berths to be had, but the tiebreaker situation is not looking good right now with little opportunity left to improve it.
It's not, and they likely won't. If I'm looking for optimism here, I'm looking at if there was ever a year to get in as a wild card and make the run in the AFC, this looks like a great year because there's so many middling teams that are going to be in. There's so many teams that are going to be first-timers, happy to be there, the Bengals types, who knows, maybe the Chargers types. I don't trust those teams at all. Even after last night, I still trust Buffalo more than a lot of those teams. It's just going to come down to your old friends, New England and Kansas City. But this is not one of these years where there's a 14-2 Tom Brady team or something like that is just the proverbial juggernaut. Yeah. I'm trying to be positive as much as I can this morning. Yeah, I really am. I think I need an MRI on my lower back and how bad I'm bending over to try to be positive. I can't sit here and say they suck, they suck, they suck. They don't. They have really good players in this team. They just don't have a really good record right now, damn it.
I say this during the show. I mean, it's a soul-crushing loss, but it's not season-crushing. But it's a crusher for Bills fans. There's a lot wrapped up in this, a lot more that outside the lines. And it's interesting to hear, you know, how people react to it. But yeah, this is one of those years, too, where at this point the Bills hold the 7th playoff spot. But it's musical chairs. There's 3-8-4 teams and 3-7-5 teams and a 7-6 team. It's musical chairs. And you know how it is. There's always one less chair than there is teams that feel like they deserve to be in. You know, the Bills, like today and another week, could be the team standing there that who's a playoff caliber team in a lot of respects, in a lot of ways, but gets left out. And that's really the fear, and it starts to hang out in the back of your mind. What do you think is – how many teams you think there will be at the end of this? And we see a ton of them now. We've been talking about it all year. What's it going to look like at the last week when somebody gets shut out?
It's rough. And musical chairs is a low-key, violent game. You got to hit I don't even know, guys, do they even play musical chairs in school anymore? It might be one of those things
there's
that's
no way they do that.
Not encouraged.
There's
it
no
gets
way.
It's like Red Rover, come on over. It's just clotheslining kids. And right. The musical chair thing is violent. So I think it actually is really appropriate, Steve, for this year's AFC, because someone's going to think they have the chair and they're going to get blasted into next week by someone nuts. You know, look, I'm still, and I'm on record many places. I want it to be here too. I'm never counting out the Pittsburgh Steelers ever.
Right.
And everybody did it last week. And last week was the Ben Roethlisberger funeral, and it's on to the next thing. And now it's about Burrow and Lamar. No, I will never count them out. I don't care what happens. And the Bills know what the Steelers are capable of. And right now, TJ Watt is probably the best football player in the entire league. So they're going to have a say in this thing. Everyone's going to have a say in it. And I'm thinking about what you were saying about it's soul crushing, but it's not season ending. You know, this Bills team has been so consistent in the media, so resolute in we're not saying anything, business. And I think last night after the game, they finally had enough. And I already talked about the two safeties who had just said, screw this, I'm not answering this question. I thought McDermott's answer to the Belichick stuff was really interesting about, like, look, let's not say this is Bill Belichick's masterpiece. I'm putting words in his mouth, but that was the subtext. These guys have been really, really buttoned up with the media. And I think a loss to the Patriots at home, like, has a tendency to unbutton you. So, look, let's go now. Now we got to play the world champs. And now we got a place they can play the quarterback who tormented us for 20 years. Let's see what the team is made of.
Musical chairs went out with steel jungle gyms and metal slides. So you don't see those on the playground.
Lawn darts. And lawn darts.
I miss that game. Come on now.
Yeah.
What was wrong with that? Have a few beers, throw a spear in the air around the yard party. It's fine.
Lob it. It's they like don't even a mortar.
They don't even have metal horseshoes anymore. What the hell's wrong with this country? Nope. We're getting soft.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in the post-game media room, Kyle, sat next to the person who asked the question, and I think, in fairness, it was an overarching season body of work question, like, is this embarrassing? I think Micah, unfortunately, took it as a question directed squarely at the defense, and that's why he and Jordan Poyer are like, dude, we gave up 14 points. Like, we should have, I mean, that's a pretty good effort, you know, rushing yards aside. And how many times have we seen New England give up a ton of yards, but then only give up 13 points and win a football game? So it comes back to the offense, and I don't know where they go from here, Kyle, because fixing it's not going to be easy. This late in the season, you are what you are. And so the roadmap is murky. And so I don't know what you do with the last five games, especially when only two of them are AFC games. This is the last one that I've got for you, but you want to be the best crystal ball guy you can be? And tell me it, truthfully, I know you still believe in this team, but I don't see how they're more than a wild card team right now.
I don't see so. I don't think so either. Like, but I guess my point is, so be a wild card team. All right. Like no one's goal was to finish with the best regular season record. Just like I never thought it was that interesting to have Josh Allen win MVP. It's fine if you want to. It's about winning the Super Bowl. And I actually like, in a way, in a roundabout way, that they're not playing, I don't know, the New York Giants next week or some also ran. Like, let's go. If you have, it's like, speak now or forever hold your peace. Give me something against Tampa. It's not going to be snowing. It's not going to be 40-mile-an-hour winds. It's just going to be you guys and them in what was supposed to be like some sort of Super Bowl preview. So show it to me. Let's see what you got. And then maybe if they get clocked next week, maybe it's time to start changing the conversation. But I'm not doing it yet. Right. They were my Super Bowl pick to begin. I still think they have that ability. It's just been a while.
All right, so we need a prediction from him. What are we
from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game? Wow, it's way early. Go ahead.
All right, I'm thinking about this. You guys know that I've said this for a couple of years. My favorite Buffalo Bill is Dawson Knox, who did not have one for his reel last night. I think Dawson Knox is going to catch a game-winning touchdown pass in the back of the end zone, and they're going to win 21-20 against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Woo!
Okay.
Wow.
To Knox for the win in the final minute, and we are cruising, and we are all right, and we are headed home and on the final stretch.
And if they do that, for 9 straight weeks, they will have exchanged wins for losses 9 weeks in a row.
There you go, Brownie. That's it.
I mean, they're due. They're due. Based on the last 2 months, they're due. So,
yeah,
Kyle.
The target's changed now. Instead of. You know, yeah, now we're just trying to keep the. That'll be the most consistently inconsistent season in a long time.
It's fine. Steve, it's not. It's soul crushing. It's not season ending. There's a game next week, and they're going to win it 21-20.
All right. Kyle, thanks as
Good
always for the
you,
time.
Man.
We appreciate it. We'll catch up with you next week.
Next week, let's have a party. Let's be happy. Enough of this.
And maybe we'll get a Ross Tucker impersonation next week, too. We'll see if that can happen also.
Yes, let's do that. All right.
Take it easy. Kyle Brandt joining us here on One Bills Live, as he does every Tuesday. I needed that. I needed a few laughs. And I miss metal jungle gyms and metal slides. They're so much faster than plastic ones. I can't even describe it to you. You know the guy that we follow, you and I both follow on Twitter, Super 70 Sports, he's always tweeting pictures of jungle gyms. You remember that metal spin thing that you used to try to whip as fast as you could to have kids fly off, centripetal force?
And being supervised by an adult while you were doing that meant that they were standing somewhere on the property with a cigarette.
Oh, they're smoking a lung dart over by the emergency door to make sure nobody escapes the playground confines. That was the only thing they were concerned about. No one run away. You split your head open on a metal jungle gym. Oh well.
Yeah, they weren't even facing the darn thing while you were on. They're just standing out there. Yeah, it's great. But that's it's really true. That this loss, and as Kyle said, you know, it. And the question that people are asking, and I guess it was Jerry that asked it, you know, whether it's embarrassing. The players don't, as me as a four, I don't think like that. You know, you think about, you know,
how they just played in that game.
It's never an embarrassment to lose to a good team, and particularly a team that you lose to by one point. So, and I get where the anger came from, but in the moment. You're angry at yourself. You're angry that you lost a game where you had so many chances to win it. Embarrassing? No.
I think the reason embarrassing was used was because the Patriots came out on the field and said, we're one-dimensional tonight. Try and stop it. And they couldn't. Now, there's a lot of things baked into why they couldn't stop it. There were missed tackles. There was an offense that, on the other side of the ball for you, could not put points on the board themselves to change the complexion of the game and maybe force New England to throw it a little bit. So there's a lot of stuff baked into the whole thing. But when another team comes out and says, this is what we're doing for 46 of the next 49 plays, see if you can stop it. And for the most part, you cannot. I mean, they got stops. There were third down stops. They forced some punts. They got a big 3-and-out after the offense failed on one drive and missed a field goal. They get a 3-and-out there in the fourth quarter, give the ball back to their team with 3 minutes left. Here you go, guys. And the offense still doesn't do it. But I think the overarching question of, is this embarrassing? Yeah, the magnitude of the game, what happened in the game, how it unfolded, they were more mistake-free than you were in a giant division tilt. It's got to be a little embarrassing on your home field in prime time in front of a national audience.
No, I think it's embarrassing for people like you and me and fans because we had, you know, people go in there talking like we talked and thinking like we think and how big it was, and then to have them do that with a rookie quarterback who they obviously didn't want to put the ball in the hands of. Your defense gave up two field goals and a touchdown.
Oh, I'm not. Let me be frank. I'm not putting this game on the defense at all.
Well, it's
I'm really
the team,
not. They gave up 14 points. And in a game in this league, if your defense gives up 14 points, you should be winning probably 8 to 9 times out of 10.
Absolutely.
Should be.
And they had the chance to do that last night. And nobody else could get it done. They couldn't get any help. Certainly you can go back and look. And when you go back and look at this, everybody will forget that there were 40-mile-an-hour winds and stuff like that as the years go past. And you're thinking, well, how'd they do that with just three, you know, trying to throw the football 3 times?
Found a way.
You got to get them out of that. You got to get them out of that, and they couldn't play complimentary football. Yeah.
Break time for us here. When we come back, more of your thoughts on the tweet sheet coming up next here on One Bills Live, presented by Collider Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. All right, welcome back to One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. Time for a little Around the Locker Room presented by Connect Life, your blood and organ donor and network. We begin with Josh Allen, who was asked a number of questions, including what he feels the state of the team is now following this Monday night football loss to the Patriots.
I mean, I think, frankly, we're pissed off because we want to be great. We're pissed off for greatness, and we expect so much of out of ourselves. And when we don't play the way we know how we can play, it could be angering at times. But again, with the makeup of the guys that we got, you know, I got no doubt in our ability, in our team ability, to turn this around and start winning games here towards the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I even asked him a question. You know, this is stacking wins time. You told your teammates after you guys won on Thanksgiving, hey, it's time to start stacking some wins, knowing you got six left. You're in the middle of an AFC playoff race. You're looking up at your division nemesis, the Patriots, and you get to play them this week. He was bitterly disappointed there at the table last night. For sure.
That was a tough loss for the players. Certainly the fans have felt it because there was so much – they poured so much of themselves into all of this week. This was a massive game. We talked about it all last week about how massive it was. And certainly even today it's not backbreaking for their season. But it's gut-wrenching. And that's what you kind of have to deal with in post-game. And these guys now will probably – even today – will come in, even today now, at this hour of the afternoon, they've watched the film and kind of got that digested, what happened, their own, each guy's individual plays that he would like to have back, that he did well, that he didn't do well, what went wrong, why they did this, all of those things, they'll digest it, and they'll turn the page. They're ready to go. They got to think about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers now, yeah. And they're going to start thinking about playing better for those guys. They'll start thinking about what today the coaches are going to, the coaches will start to implement the game plan and start to put that together, and they'll get their hands on it tomorrow where, you know, we'll probably start to turn the page on this show, too, and start thinking about Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
So it takes a while to flush a game like this, and you don't do it until you've actually seen the film and gotten a look from a sky view, a bird's eye view of how you played individually and then heard the other guys talk about how they played. Now you can kind of start to step aside of it.
Coach McDermott asked a number of questions after the game as well. He was very direct with some of his answers, including his take on some of the missed opportunities in last night's game, particularly in the red zone.
Listen, I thought there were moments, right, where our defense did some good things. I think we had four three and outs, but we had opportunities. However you want to spin it, we had opportunities to win the game. When you're down the red zone four times and you're one for four, and your average starting field position is basically your 40, that's an issue.
Were you taken with – he mentioned it more than once. Buffalo's special teams units won the field position battle and the hidden yardage on a night where weather was a major issue in the game. Winning that hidden yardage, one would think – prove very beneficial to the outcome of the game, and they were playing a team that since week 7, Steve, had the best average drive start in the league for their offense and the best opponent's average drive start for their defense. It was like an 11.2-yard differential between theirs and their opponents since week 7, number one in the league, and the Bills' special teams units beat them in that category handily by 17 yards.
The Bills' special teams unit was aided, too, by the fact that the Bills made some first downs, particularly in the second half and going against the wind, particularly in the fourth quarter where they got two drives down in the red zone and, you know, couldn't cash in. But that field position was huge. Certainly the Patriots got the one, 72-yard punt the Patriot guy hit when it rolled into the end
rolled
zone.
For 30 yards pretty
That's
much.
What you're going to get once in a while. But he was, you know, it averaged out because he kicked two of them sideways going against the wind. I thought Matt Hawk had probably his best day as a Bill yesterday, punting the football against the wind. He drove it out of there really well, turned it over and spiraled it and made the guy feel it, got one that was mishandled that turned into the setup for the Bills' only touchdown. You're right. I thought the kicking game was on point yesterday, and I thought the Bills and offense and the kicking game kind of played in concert to help the Bills' defense give the Patriots a long field offensively. So Yeah, I will say that. I'll say that as well. The field position battle certainly was won, but the kicking battle, you know, the field goals and stuff like that, yeah, certainly going with the wind was a different story than going into the scoreboard end.
Coach was also asked the all-too-familiar question at this point in the season about the physicality of his team. He has said publicly and undoubtedly in meeting rooms that they have to be more physical at the line of scrimmage in games. And again, their defensive front had trouble winning there on a consistent basis. They got some stops. I mean, we should not dismiss the fact that the Bills' defense had 9 tackles for loss in this game. So that's 9 out of 46 runs. I mean, that's 1 out of every 5, pretty much. 20% of the runs went for loss. So it's not like the defense was completely run over, but people look at the big yardage number at the end and say, are they being physical enough at the line of scrimmage? Here is Coach McDermott's take on that.
Yeah, not good enough. We've got to be able to run the football, and we got to be able to stop the run. And those things don't change. The message hasn't changed in terms of physicality and the necessity for physicality and what we do. That's why we start training camp the way we do, with running the football, and you got to win the line of scrimmage. And their average, their backs average, I think, 5 point whatever, and our backs average 3.1 or whatever. So not good enough.
Not good enough. No simpler way to put it. And you know, when you're in these games that are tight and one-score affairs, I mean, you say what you will about the defense, Steve. They kept it a one-score game pretty much wire to wire. It was a one-score game wire to wire, which, you know, was aided by the weather, on, you know, no question.
Yeah, the overriding factor in the whole thing was the weather.
But if your offense makes 3 plays, you're either winning it, or you're right there.
Well, at the end, you make 1 play and you win it. I mean, that's how close the game was the entire way. And you know, the Bills could not get it done. The field position battle was, you know, the Bills did a nice job in. The defense played, you got to say the defense played well. They gave up 14 points, 2 field goals and a touchdown. Certainly, you say, wow, they gave up. Well, you know what? Yards don't get you beat. The clock and the scoreboard get you beat. The Bills had plenty of both. You know, the Bills had plenty of time. They had 2 drives in the fourth quarter. They got down to the red zone. They couldn't convert either one. One was the missed field goal that would have set you up for a game winner. The second one, they couldn't get it into the end zone.
Yeah, it went backwards.
So, you know, and the defense, between the first missed field goal and the next drive they had, the defense, boom, 3 and out.
Yeah.
I mean, the defense showed up. And, you know, you could say it wasn't spectacular. Yeah, you're right. And they ran all – well, you know what? It doesn't matter what it looks like. Ask the Patriots.
Well, and I'll pose this to you to take another Patriots reference out of this game. People are going to criticize the defense for how many rushing yards they gave up. How many times have we seen the Patriots give up yards by the bushel?
Yeah.
But once you get in the red zone, they stop you.
And that's where
they
last
win
night.
The football game.
Yeah.
That's really what the Bills defense did last night. They gave up yards.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't give up points.
Yeah. The Patriots couldn't get in the end zone, and really, you think about it, when they put their drives together, the wind was a factor. It gave them a chance to get the 2 field goals that gave them the lead and subsequent game-winning points. If those are reversed, or the coin flip, or they're going the wrong direction, or they don't move the football as well as they did with the wind, give their guy a chance, you know, that's a different game. No question it'll get lost as this game gets further into history. You go look back and you just look at the numbers that the game came out. It's like, you know, 40-mile-an-hour winds was rough. It was rough. And it changed the entire – not just for the Bills either. I mean, I don't want to get, like, too myopic here where, to use your word, where mm-hmm. we're just focusing on the team. It would have changed things for the Patriots as well. But that was the factor in how this game played out, with the run game for the Patriots and the passing game and the effectiveness in the red zone for the Bills.
Mitch Morris addressed where they have to go from here. This is, again, another week in which they've exchanged or alternated between wins and losses. They've now done it in each of their last 8 games. Win, lose, win, lose, win, lose, win, lose. Where do they go from here? Here's Mitch Morris on that subject.
I mean, just the familiar topic of shooting ourselves in the foot at inopportune times. There's no opportune time to shoot yourself in the foot. We just seem to tend to do it at the absolute worst time. So for us, like Dawson said, there's no finger pointing or nothing. Yeah, the only finger pointing can do is inwards. And I think if you asked everyone on this team, there's plenty that they could have done to, you know, come out with a win, which we didn't do. And you know, we'll learn. Like every loss, we'll learn from a lot of these mistakes and go from there.
Right. Unfortunately, that's a comment that the more Bills fans hear it after losses, I think it begins to ring hollow until they see results that look different.
Yeah,
that's what rubs Bills fans the wrong way when they hear that time and time and time again, but the results seemingly don't change.
The frustrating part of it is for Bills fans, and I get it, I mean, but it's just the reality of the NFL. You're going to have virtually the same roster going into Tampa Bay that you have this week, and you're going to have it going the rest of the season, just like you've had it for the last month and a half. You're going to work with what you've got. And to make wholesale changes, you need different players. If you want guys to play differently, most notably, you need different players. That's not going to change. This is a team that the coaching staff has a lot of faith in. They have not played as consistently enough to win games. They've been up and down, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. We've pointed to the issues up front for them. A lot of people are focusing on the run defense. I mean, I'm having a hard time getting there today. I get it. You gave up a lot of run. They only had to throw the football three times in the entire game, you know, because, you know, they could move the football. But the Patriots weren't trying to score points. They were just trying to shorten the game. You can say, well, if they, you know, and they knew if they put the ball in the air against this team, they're putting it in harm's way, particularly in the wind like that. There's a lot in there, and I just think that if you want this team to play differently, they are who they are right now. And that sounds horrific now in the game. Oh, they got beat by – they're good enough to win, beat anybody in the league if they play well. But they haven't played well yet and certainly haven't played consistently enough yet.
No.
For us to have faith in the fact that they can do it. The coaching staff, they may change a player here or there. We're getting, you know, you get calls for, you know, Antonio Williams, he's going to save the running game. You know, I doubt it. I mean, they may try it, but
it's not,
I doubt
a one
it.
Player fix.
Matt Breida has not saved the running game. So you got to play to who you are and play as well as you can play. But if you don't make mistakes, you're going to win more games than you lose, and the Bills have made just too many mistakes.
All right, that's Around the Locker Room presented by Connect Life. When we come back, we will close things up and give you another record that is perfect now for Bill Belichick concerning AFC East division races. We'll tell you what it is when we return here on One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. And we have one last stat to pass along from last night's game. Bill Belichick is now 6-0 as head coach of the Patriots in divisional games where both teams entered within one game of the division lead. So whether they were the team in second place or they were playing a second place team right behind them who was within a game of them, he's now 6-0.
I don't know. He hasn't played a division rival like on opening day or something. I mean, because they'd be within a game of the. You know what I'm saying?
Come on,
that can't be right. That's a baseball stat.
Both teams entered the game within one game of the division lead. So we go back week 15, 2001, beat the Dolphins 20-13. Week 14, 2002, beat the Bills 27-17. Week 17, 2002, beat the Dolphins in overtime, 27-24. Week 13, 2010, routed the Jets, 45-3. Week 16 in 2019, we remember that game, beat the Bills, 24-17, and basically clinched the division title. And then last night's game is added for a perfect 6-0 mark for him in those situations.
All right, whatever. Whatever.
Tomorrow's show, we will begin to turn the page, but we will hear from the coordinators to get their postmortem on the game from last night. They'll be addressing the media late today. We'll have some of their more notable comments for you on tomorrow's show, along with any and all roster updates. Does John Feliciano get moved off injured reserve to the active roster? We will see. We will discuss. We'll see you tomorrow at 1:00.
Yeah.